Open your Bibles, if you would. Back to Matthew chapter 12. Put your finger in there. Matthew chapter 12. And then, first of all, they'll go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Name of the message is Two Truths. There's two truths in the scripture that we are going to look at today that demand our notice. First, we will see the desperate wickedness of the human heart. And it's presented in a way that there can be no doubt about this teaching. That the human heart is wicked. Wicked, desperately wicked. And the second truth we will see is an encouraging description of Christ's character. Christ's character. We'll see His beauty, His grace, His mercy to weak believers, to every born-again, blood-washed believer. And we can say that includes me as believers, can't we? Includes me. I had Brother Brian read Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 14, for us to get the context to the setting of what we will look at today. But first of all, I'd like us to read over here in Isaiah in verses 1 to 9 of chapter 42 about God's servant. The scripture declares in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9, "Behold my servant." That's our king. That's Christ. This is a reference to the Messiah. God's servant. "Behold my servant." Look upon him. Whom I uphold. Mine elect. In whom my soul delighteth. You see, God delights in the one He's speaking of. He delights in this one. His beloved. His servant. He says, "I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break." Now, a bruised reed is a reed standing among all the other reeds that's bent over. It's not broken, but it's bent over. Not broken, though. And he won't break it, it says. "And the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail." Look at that. So this servant spoken of here, he shall not fail. Whatever he tries to do, whatever he does, he will not fail in it. This is speaking of our King, beloved. He's ransomed our souls. He didn't fail, did he? He saved us from our sins. That's what he did. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. We can easily get discouraged, can't we? Christ was never discouraged. He was here to do the Father's will. Sent by the Father to do the Father's will. To save His people from their sins. He didn't fail in that, did he? Okay, praise God, He saved us. "Till He has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for His law. Thus saith the Lord, or God the Lord, Elohim Jehovah, He that created the heavens and stretched forth out, He that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness." This is speaking of the servant still. Who's the Lord? He's our righteousness, isn't He? He's our righteousness. "And will hold thine hand and will keep thee." Well, if He's keeping Christ, that means He's going to keep everybody in Christ, isn't He? Oh, it's wonderful. "For a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Look at this. "To open the blind eyes." Oh, we were so blind. We were so dead in sin. We were so in darkness, we couldn't see nothing. He opened our eyes, didn't He? We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we've got eyes that are open, spiritual eyes, to look and see Christ. To bring out the prisoners from prison. Oh, we were in the prison house of sin, beloved. We were locked up and chained up in there. We couldn't get out. I heard Donnie Bell explaining some preacher he had heard said, well, man's got the key. All he's got to do is open the door. No, we don't got the key. We're in the prison house, beloved. And we got no key to get out. Who's the key? Christ. He's the key, isn't he? He's the one who can open the prison doors. We got no power to do it. And look at this. And then that sat in darkness out of the prison house. See, back then, their prisons weren't like ours. Their prisons were holes in the ground. They dug prisons out of the ground. And they cast people in these holes, in these pits. My, oh my. They wanted food, they'd lower it down with a rope. It was awful. These prisons were awful. Places where people just went to die. Look at this. I am the Lord, that in my name and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Oh, look at this. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Oh, my. My, oh, my. Look at this. Now, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And I had our dear brother Brian finish at verse 14. We're going to read from verse 14 to 21. And look at this. Oh, look at this. We just read in Isaiah the prophet there. And the Holy Spirit, by the pen of Matthew, is going to bring forth. That Christ is a servant spoken of there. Christ is the Messiah, beloved. He's the Messiah. Look at this. Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. He just healed a man with a withered hand. Couldn't use that iron. Couldn't use it at all. And now they're seeking to destroy him. Does that not show the wickedness of man's heart? There's the truth number one right there. The wickedness of man's heart. Oh my. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him and healed them all. He already knew. He knew they were conspiring. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He already knows what they're thinking. It says there, right? But when Jesus knew it, my, oh my. You know, he could have taken the breath away from them just like that. My, oh my. What mercy our Lord shows sinners. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Look at that. And charged them that they should not make him known. He did not. You know why? You know why he did that all the time? You know why he said, don't let folks know it was me? So that God would get all the glory. That's why he did it. So that God would get all the glory, beloved. He was here to do the Father's will. He didn't want to praise a man. He wanted man to praise God, didn't he? Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's why he told them. Oh, don't make me known. Make God known. Give him all the glory and honor and praise. That it might now look at this. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We just read this. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved. Oh, Christ is the beloved. In whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. See, think of this. We're a bunch of sinners, aren't we? We who are his people. We're just a bunch of sinners. We're like that bruised reed. He didn't break us, though, did he? He didn't snap that reed, did he? No. He won't break us. He won't break his people. He heals the brokenhearted, doesn't he? He heals his people. Oh, my. And I don't mean physical healing. I'm talking spiritual healing. My, oh, my. Sometimes he's pleased to heal physically, but that's up to him. And that had nothing to do with us. That's all God. And sometimes he's pleased not to do that. Look at this. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoke and flax shall he not quench. So he sent forth judgment unto victory. Look at this last day. Look at this last verse. And in his name, the name of Jesus, right? The name of Christ, Jesus our Lord, shall the Gentiles trust. That's you and me, beloved. That's you and I. We're trusting in him, aren't we? We're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first truth I'd like us to look at, as I made earlier, is the fact of the desperate wickedness of the human heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. And it's so much brought forth in verse 14. And you know what? Lest any of us get high-minded, this was our state before the Lord saved us. We might not have said we hated God, but by our actions we did. Right? But look at this. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council. They didn't just get out and talk one amongst another. They actually got together, had a secret meeting. They had a meeting. They had a council. How are we going to destroy this fellow? This is God in the flesh. He just healed the man. He just healed the man. How can we destroy him? And they want to kill him, beloved. They want to destroy him. This shows us the wickedness of our hearts in natural man. It shows us that we're just dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 14, these men plunge deeper and deeper into sin. We're bad enough just on our own. Now they want to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, natural man, we hate God. In our natural state, we might not verbalize that, but we sure do by our actions and by our thoughts. And this is the state of every human being. This is what we're born into. Right here. Wicked hearts. So here they are. They meet and they plan to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You think their plans are going to come to fruition? God laughs at their calamity. He mocks them. Christ is on a mission, right? He's going to give his life. No one's going to destroy him. He's going to willingly give his life as a sacrifice for my sins and for yours as a believer. He won't be thwarted by man. Can his will be thwarted by man? Can never be thwarted by man. Never, beloved. My, oh my. And can you imagine the depths of this great wickedness? Well, we can, can't we? We just got to look inward to imagine the depths of this wickedness. Because again, I'd have done the same before my conversion as these men. And I ask you, what evil had our Lord done to be treated in this way? None. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He went about doing good. As a matter of fact, after this situation, we see in verse 15 that he withdrew himself and a great multitude followed him and he healed them all. All he did was go about doing good, didn't he? And then he says, don't tell anyone about me. Give glory to God. Glorify him for what he's done through me. Again, he's a servant. Do you see the servitude of our King? Do you see how much he's brought himself so low? He's in full submission to the Father, isn't he? And they could find no charge against our Lord. None. You know why? Because he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. That's who our King is. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And again, his days were spent in doing good. He went around healing folks. He never did anything wrong. He never did any evil. What a God, what a Savior. And they tried to come at him, and he just gave them Scripture, didn't he? Like we saw earlier when Brian read. He just gave them Scripture. My! And they hated him without a cause. They hated him without a cause. So here we just see the sinfulness of natural man. We see the truth that man is naturally depraved. We're so depraved. I don't think we know how sinful we are, really. The depths of our sin. But we see it here a little. We get a little glimpse of it here, don't we? My, oh my. The sinfulness of natural man is right here before us in verse 14. This we see here the fact that the unconverted heart hates God. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you know what we count precious? Man counts as foolishness. Natural man counts as foolishness. You know, they think the preaching of the word is foolishness. It's wonderful to us, eh? Tell me more about my Savior. Tell me, I can't wait till I get to sit and listen to Norm and Donnie in 3 weeks and just let them tell me about my King, brothers. Tell me about my King. I just want to soak it up. Tell me about it. Preach them to me. My, oh my. It's wonderful. God's teachings, God's book is wondrous to His people. But there was a time when it wasn't, right? But now, when we're born again, this is an incredible book. This is one. It tells me about my King. It tells me about the one who gave His life for me. Willingly. My, oh my. The one who shed His blood for me. See, but to the natural man, again, the teaching of God is, God's teaching is foolishness to them. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The heart of natural man will show its hatred. Whenever it dares and whenever it has the opportunity, it'll rear its face. It'll rear its face. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 14. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. The gospel is the wisdom of God. Christ, who's the wisdom of God? Christ. Who does the gospel speak of? Christ. Speaks to Him. That's what we speak of. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. My, He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, right? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Look at that. Not even in our wildest thoughts of the most beautiful things in this world doesn't even come close to what heaven's going to be like. Doesn't even hold a candle to it. I love listening to the birds and looking at waterfalls and all that stuff. And the beauty of all that stuff doesn't even come close to what glory will be like, beloved. We can't even fathom what our dear brothers and sisters who've gone before us are seeing right now. The King of glory. Oh, it's wonderful. I have not seen nor you heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Right? Who's revealed Himself to us by the Holy Spirit of God? God's revealed Himself to us, hasn't He? He's revealed Himself to us. He's the one who opened up the blind eyes that we had, given us eyes to see Christ, unstopped our deaf ears so that we can hear the gospel now and rejoice. And the lips that once cursed Him now praise Him. Oh, it's wonderful. But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The only way we can know who God is to be born again. For Him to reveal Himself to us. That's why Christ said, you must be born again. You must be. Natural man cannot enter heaven. Because we can't even understand spiritual things until we're born again. That's what He's bringing forth here. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. They think it's foolishness. A man gets up and preaches about someone who died on the cross 2,000 years ago and shed his blood. The world looks at that and goes, that's absolute foolishness. And God's people go, praise be to God for our wonderful, merciful Savior who died for me. Right? Most wonderful news I've ever heard. And I just want people to keep telling me, oh, preach to me more and more about what Christ has done for me. Oh my, how He's the Savior of sinners. He saved my soul. Oh, what a Savior. And you know, He saves all who comes to Him. Never turn one away who comes to Him. Never, not once. That's why we say flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. He's the only hope. Oh my. He's the only one. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He gives rest. We believe it. We can say, oh, He gives rest. He gives rest to my soul. Oh, He gives me rest. Rest that I can't even put into words how wonderful this rest is for this old sinner. Then it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Now man's wisdom is philosophy and all that stuff. And you know, my son likes to read philosophy, and my daughter was reading philosophy, and we'd be talking, and I'd say, honey, that's just man's wisdom. That's just man's wisdom. That's natural man trying to figure out things that are going on. And natural man cannot understand spiritual things, can they? We know that from what we just read. So it's man's wisdom, not the wisdom of God. You know, I'm looking at a bunch of people who are made wise by God. Isn't that amazing? Because you know Christ. If Christ has revealed Himself to you, if God the Father has revealed Himself to you through Christ, you're made wise by God. Don't matter if we know a little wee bit or a whole lot. Don't matter. We're made wise by God. And even if we know a little bit more, right? So, see what happens? Somebody knows this much and somebody else knows this much. And they're like, oh, yeah. Looking down at the person. No, we don't look down at one another, do we? No. We rejoice, don't we? We rejoice in what I don't know a little bit about God, I'll tell you that. I'm just scratching the surface what I know about God. But the little bit I know, oh, praise His name. Praise His mighty name. He's so wonderful. I hope he reveals more of Himself to me, but it'll be through this Scripture, not through anywhere else. It'll be through the preaching of this Word right here. And it'll be all about Christ. It won't be about me. It'll be all about Christ. All about what He's done for me. Look at this. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, and comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But look at this. Now, here we go. Look at this. But the natural man, that's unsaved man, not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. See, man looks at the preaching of the gospel, natural man, and they think that's just a bunch of foolishness. People getting together and worship somebody who died 2,000 years ago? Well, he wasn't just somebody, was he? He's God in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. See? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Look at this. Neither can he know them. See, one cannot truly know who God is unless you're born again. And He starts to reveal Himself to us. And then as we grow in grace, beloved, we learn a little bit more. And that little wee bit, it did have to be a little bit, doesn't it? And we're just amazed. We're just amazed. Oh, so natural men can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are, what? Spiritually discerned. See, a man who's dead in trespasses and sins, their spirit, spiritually, they're dead. They're graveyard dead, Ephesians 2 says. But the scripture says, but God, who's rich in mercy, right? In verse 4 of Ephesians 2, he's rich in mercy. He's had mercy on us, right? In verse 5 talks about us being quickened. That's born again, beloved. Spiritually alive now. We're spiritually alive now. Holy Spirit dwells within us and teaches us the things of Christ. Now we can discern spiritual things. We can compare spiritual things with spiritual things, right? Isn't it wonderful? And it's the Holy Spirit who's our teacher, right? The scripture says. And what does he do? Who does he teach us about? Christ. He won't speak of himself, the scripture says. He only teaches about Christ. So we see here then that natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. This is why God must reveal himself to us. This is why he must. Otherwise we don't know him. Being dead in trespass and sin, natural man wants nothing to do with God. And that's why, and think of this too, it still amazes me. That's why we must be made willing in the day of God's power. There was a day when you and I weren't willing as believers. We were dead in our sins, weren't we? And then God made us willing. I was talking to a fellow this week, and we were talking about election. And you know, he got caught up in the whole number thing, and I said, buddy, it's a number that you can't even... same thing I told my daughter that I told you guys a few weeks ago. It's a number you can't even number. If people ask you about election, just say, it's a number you can't even number. You can't even number the elect of God. You just can't. And I said, that's why I always say, just come to Christ. Come, flee to Christ. If you come to Christ, you're one of the elect. I don't know who the elect are, so I'll preach the gospel to everyone. And hope and pray that the Lord will use the message to draw his people to him or build his people up in Christ. That's my hope. It's God to save sinners. My, oh my. And why are believers persecuted in this world? Why are we persecuted in this world? Because they can't get to the Master, beloved. They can get to us, but they can't get to the Master. That's why we're persecuted in this world. And the Lord said, marvel not that the world hates you, it hated me first. Right? That hasn't changed, has it? That truth hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. Now, people might not say outrightly they hate you, but in their actions they do that. Some people are bold enough to say that stuff. And you know what I say about that? Pray for them. Just pray for them. Just pray for them. There was an old preacher of old, John Huss. He was a preacher of old. He was burned at the stake. And when he was taken to the stake, the executioner said, now we commit thy soul to the devil. But I, said John Huss, lifting up his eyes toward heaven, do commit in my soul unto his hands, the Lord Jesus Christ. My spirit, which thou hast redeemed. And when the chain was put upon him at the stake, they actually chained him to the stake. He said with a smile and countenance, my Lord Jesus Christ was bound with a harder chain than me. Why should I be ashamed of this rusty old chain? He then said, I have never preached any doctrine of evil tendency. And what I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. And as he burned, he sung a hymn. He's burning there and he's singing a hymn, beloved. He's singing a hymn with so loud and cheerful a voice that he was heard above the noise of the multitude that were there. Singing praises to the King while he's burning on the stake. And finally the flames put out his voice. But you know where he went? Right to glory, beloved. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So don't wonder if The world has hated. The world hates Christ. It hasn't changed. This old world hasn't changed, beloved. This old world hasn't changed. And you know what they did after that? After they burned him at the stake, they took his ashes and they cast them into the river, that the last remnant of that man should not be left upon this earth. And it wasn't because of any sins he had committed, although he is a sinner, but it was because he was a disciple of Christ. He was a preacher of Christ's righteousness. He was a godly man. He preached salvation in and through Christ alone. And for this, the world hated him. The world hated him. So, the depth of human nature has not yet been seen, how depraved we really are. You know, God restrains men right now. He does. You imagine if he didn't have his restraining hand, how wicked we could be. Even as believers. He restrains us, doesn't he? Oh my. So in this verse we see human nature revealed. That's the first truth. Just how wicked man's heart is. Now let's read verses 15 to 21. And we are going to get a glimpse here of the characteristics of our wonderful, merciful Savior. The truth of who He is. He is God's servant. And He's the beloved of God. He's the beloved of God. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. Oh, that's amazing. And charged them that they should not make Him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. That means he doesn't seek to praise a man. He's here to glorify God. That's what he's here for. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he set forth judgment unto victory. And in his name, I love this last one, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Trust in him. Here's the second truth brought before us in this text. An encouraging description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew gets verse 20 from Isaiah 42:3, which we read at the beginning of the message. And what are we to understand by this bruised reed and smoking flax? Well, again, this is figurative language. And what do these two expressions mean? Well, the Holy Spirit's describing those whose grace is weak and repentance is feeble and whose faith is small. That's all of us, isn't it? That's all of us. We're all weak. We're all like the bruised reed, bent over, bowed down. And again, the bruised reed is one standing in water and bent, but not broken. He's a bruised reed. And then, small as a spark of the fire may be within the flax, it's a slender, erect plant with blue flowers, and the seeds are used for making linseed oil. And the fibers, when they're spun into fine linen thread. And sometimes during manufacturing, they smoke from a spark. So what's being taught here is weak grace, weak faith, weak repentance, which are all precious in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. Oh, our Lord loves those who are weak, doesn't He? Weak spirits. He said, I didn't come to heal the whole. I come to call sinners to repentance. I come to heal those who are sin sick. Oh my. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. Note that the Lord Jesus Christ's description in verse 18 here. Look at this. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. Well, who are we chosen in? Christ. Yeah. Christ, the first elect. Yeah. We're chosen in Him, beloved. Yeah, look, that's what it says. Behold my servant whom I'm chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Marvel at these words. Look, the Father, it says here in the scripture that the Father is well pleased with his servant here. He's well pleased with him. What did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's not pleased with any of us outside of Christ, is he? That can't be said of any other man or woman in this world, can it? Who's ever lived in this world other than Christ? Can't be said of any of us in our natural state. No, the Lord, the Father is well pleased with Christ, who offered himself a ransom for all his elect. For his sheep, it's his shed blood that redeems us. We're saved by his perfect, again, we got it. I know I keep hammering this all the time. We're saved by his perfect, complete, finished work. Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else. Nothing else. You know why we need to hear the gospel all the time? Because we so quickly forget. We so quickly forget. That's why the Lord has us hear the gospel all the time. Again and again and again and again. And it's wonderful to us, isn't it? It never gets old. If it ever gets old to someone, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. Tell me about my King. Tell me about God's amazing grace. Tell me about how my Savior bled and died for me on Calvary's cross. Tell me more. Tell me more. And note also that our Lord Jesus Christ is God's servant. Behold, my servant. This is God speaking. Christ is his servant. And we see that all through when we read about Christ's life. He was in total servitude to the Father, wasn't he? He was here to do what? The Father's will. Remember what he said to Mary and Joseph when they came and they found him after they left him for a while? They came, What are you doing? I'm about my Father's business. He's only 12 years old. I'm about my Father's business. Oh, it's wonderful. So here we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah's servant. He's the sent one of God, which we've been seeing all through John, our study in John 17 on Wednesday nights. We've been seeing how much he's been sent by God. He came here again to do the Father's will. It is so clear in Scripture. And our Lord reminds us of that again and again and again in the Gospels. He's Jehovah's servant, the sent one of God to save his people from their sins. In Isaiah, Isaiah is writing about the Messiah. And we see here that the Holy Spirit has Matthew pen these words, that these words are speaking about Christ. So who is Christ then? He's the Messiah. He's the sent one of God. Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So Isaiah is writing about Christ. He's writing about Christ. And the Holy Spirit is... Now think of this too. The Holy Spirit's the one who had Isaiah write those words, right? The Holy Spirit's the one who had Matthew write those words. Isn't that wonderful? They speak of the same person. They speak of the same. One before he even came into this earth, and one after his death. Oh, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And note in verse 18, too, that the term that the Father uses here. Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved. My beloved. My beloved. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ is here, is called the Beloved One. And look what's over here. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, He's the only begotten of the Father, right? He's the only begotten of the Father. Look at this in verse 5. So He's sent by the Father to redeem His people from their sins. It says here, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Look at that. We're saved according to the good pleasure of God's will. What comfort. What comfort we can find here. We're predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to God's will. Nothing in us. Nothing. And then, my, oh my. Isaiah writes this, "This people have I formed for myself, that they might show forth my praise." We were predestinated by God to show forth His praise, beloved. That's wonderful. It also says, "For Jehovah hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His particular pleasure." He's pleased to choose us in Christ. That's in Psalm 133:4. So be in wonder of God's grace shown to sinners. Let it warm our souls. Now look at the next verse. Look at verse 6. "To whom the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us" what? Accepted in who? Accepted in who, beloved? In the Beloved. The same Beloved that Matthew's talking about. The servant of God. The sent one of God. The Beloved One. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're accepted in the Messiah that Isaiah spoke of. Right? Same author of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God, calls Christ, using the same quote from Isaiah, the Beloved of God. And then Paul writes here, by the same author, the Holy Spirit of God, that we believers are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You see how Scripture just ties in together, one with the other? Just ties. It's in such harmony, beloved. It's in such harmony. It's incredible. And what we see here is God the Father's love to the church. It's expressed by the Apostle Paul, but by the true author, which is God the Holy Spirit. He writes that God's people are accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in Christ. God accepts us. We're sinners though, right? But we've been washed clean in the blood of Christ. Now we're clothed in His precious righteousness. And He accepts us. And think of this. We've been marveling about this on Wednesday nights. That we were the fathers. Think of this first. We were the fathers. He chose us. And then He gave us to Christ. Read John 17. It's amazing. The first five verses. The Father gave us to Christ. And now He accepts us in Christ. Because of His precious blood. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'll tell you what. There's no God like our God, is there? Who shows mercy to sinners. He shows mercy to sinners such as we. And why does He do this? Well, look at verse 6 again. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Do we praise God for His grace? All the time, don't we? Thank You, Lord, for having mercy on me. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace bestowed upon me. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying for my soul. Saving my soul. Thank You. So first, we're chosen in Christ. Secondly, we're predestinated to glory in Christ. And thirdly, God's people are accepted in Christ. Therefore, it's all about Christ. Right? That's why Paul said, I'm determined not to preach anything among you, but Christ in Him crucified. Isn't that wonderful? What do, you know, and I know I say this a few times, but I'm going to say it again. 50 lessons on how to be a better Christian. You know who that puts the focus on? Exactly. You know what these verses put the focus on? You know who these verses put the focus on? Christ. The Father chose us in Christ, predestinated to glory in Christ, to be conformed to the image of His Son, and thirdly, accepted in Christ. It's wonderful. That's all I have for you is Christ. That's all I have to preach to you is Christ. I may come at it from different scriptures, but all I have to preach to you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's all that matters. He's all that matters. Oh, it's wonderful. So marvel at this precious truth before us, that we are accepted. Sinners are accepted by God through Christ, the Beloved One. The Beloved One. And you know, we're beloved because we are in Him now. We're the beloved of God. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. And then note verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? The riches of His grace. So Paul writes that our being chosen in Christ, our predestination, and our being accepted in Christ are all spoken of. Now think of this. They're all spoken of from the foundation of the world. When were we chosen in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. When were we predestinated in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. When were we accepted in the Beloved? Before the foundation of the world. And now He speaks of something that has to happen in time. Now He speaks of something that has to happen in time right here. We're purchased with the blood of Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood. See, Christ had to come here. He had to come to redeem us, beloved. In whom we have redemption. And look at that. The forgiveness of sins. How many sins? All my sins! Not one left behind. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. See, God's grace is bestowed upon us. And we as saved sinners, we see the riches of God's grace and the fact that He's forgiven us of all our sins. And there's nothing we did to get that. It's all in and through Christ. Planned, purposed, and executed by God. For you and I. We who are His people. And for, you know, there's lost sheep out there still, isn't there? You know how I know there's lost sheep out there? Because Christ hasn't come back yet. When that lost sheep saved, it's all over, beloved. It's all over. My, oh my. Why are we here like I spoke last week? Right? For the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we're here. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And notice again that in verse 7 that which was planned and purposed by God came to pass in time. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed by His blood. Right now. You know, right now I stand before you as a man redeemed. Saved. Made fit for heaven. In and through Christ alone. Not because of anything I did, but all because of what Christ did. Oh, it's wonderful. Sinner friend, flee to Christ. Come to Him. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. Oh, my. And so marvel at this truth that's set before us. We are accepted in the Beloved. That's accepted in Christ. In Christ alone. Again, look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 12. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved. Oh, because He's the beloved, all that are in Him are beloved of God. In whom my soul is well pleased. God is well pleased with Christ. I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Oh, my. I say, may these blessed truths that we looked at today, may they warm your heart this week. May they just warm your heart this week. You know, we're going to have a trying week. We always do, right? Something always comes up, unexpected. Let these words warm your heart that our Savior is the sent one of God. He's the chosen one of God. He's the beloved of God. He's the one who God's pleased with. Therefore, He's pleased with everyone in Christ, isn't He? Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And we may all be at one time or times be full of fears and hopelessness. Because we have the flesh, don't we? We battle the flesh. Our faith, our hope, and our love may appear so small. May appear so small. Weak faith. You know what weak faith does? It gives a man a real and true interest in Christ, or a woman. It gives us a real true interest in Christ. You know that weak faith might not give the same joy that strong faith gives, but you know it's faith nonetheless, isn't it? Do you know that there's life in an infant just as truly as there's life in a growing person? There's life in a babe in Christ just as there is in a mature believer. Isn't that wonderful? And you know that there's fire in a spark just as truly as there's fire in a burning fire? One's small, one's large. Still fire, isn't it? Weak faith, strong faith. Still faith. Given to us by God. Given to us by God. So the least degree of grace is an everlasting possession. Be thankful at least you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when so many others don't. You know, the faith that's given to us, it came from heaven. God gave it to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God given. Rejoice, beloved. I'll tell you what, do not the angels of God rejoice at one who's seeking Christ? Oh yeah, they do, don't they? They do. They have joy when they see little faith. Little faith. Does the Lord Jesus only regard strong faith? No. 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 We see there in our text the bruised reed. You know, Saul of Tarsus became a bruised reed, didn't he? He became a bruised reed. He was firm and strong, and then he became a bruised reed, didn't he? And he cried out to the Lord. And who did the Lord? The Lord sent him someone, didn't he? We need to encourage the first movement of grace in the soul towards Christ. We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice. Because the bruised reed and the smoking flax are very precious in God's eyes. Whether your faith be strong or weak, it's God-given. And it's precious in God's eyes. We can sometimes have strong faith, can't we? And then sometimes we can be so weak. Right? But rejoice. God's given you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whether it's weak or strong. Our salvation is not dependent upon us or our faith, how weak and strong it is. It's dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to His name. Glory to